Welcome back to part two of Mental Health Tips for Entrepreneurs with Neola Zama. We left off at boundaries when it comes to pricing and giving discounts and how it affects how you show up for your clients and your business. Here's the rest of that conversation and this episode. Because actually, if we were to reevaluate the way we define nice, actually it's not nice when you are discounting yourself, because by extension, you are discounting the other person from really getting the full value. Because let's be honest, when we discount, we don't really enjoy it. We don't enjoy it. We don't feel good. We have resentment and we don't light up. And if you're not lighting yourself up when you land that client, then you are not even really showing up for that client or that customer to your full potential. Like, what is the incentive? I mean, yes, money can't be the only incentive. Yes, but it's about compensating yourself adequately, because I am sure that everybody who's listening to this podcast wants a thriving business.
So somebody said, I will say who it is, but not by name at all. So my tattoo artist is this incredible artist. I mean, his work is mind-boggling, you know. And went down there and he gave me the price. And I was like, dude, what? So I instantly switched into entrepreneur mode, right? And he didn't ask, but he's so quiet. And I started rattling off, you know, you're undervaluing your services. When the service appears too cheap, it actually puts a poor sheen on the business so that people think, oh my gosh, like, I don't even want this. And they're actually willing to pay double by someone else because they think, yeah, I'm probably getting something premium, right?
Right, bias psychology.
Right. So I went over his like Instagram, I gave him templates for the stories, went through pricing, et cetera, et cetera. And he was totally on board with it. You know, we set up how to take the photos, the whole thing. And then he comes and says, well, I'm not going to do any of this because I don't really need the money. And I don't really need this. And I said one thing to him before I decided that I'm not helping him again. I said, you don't need the money, but your business does. And we have to start separating you and what you want from the business. He's a simple guy. He doesn't even own a pair of jeans. But your business needs you to be there for it.
Yeah, it's like, and you say business, but it's your brand, because when you separate yourself from the business, you're actually positioning your brand in a certain light. So, and then it's hard to recover from it. I mean, nothing is hard to recover from in business once you have the right strategy. But why put yourself through that if you could set yourself up the right way from the get-go, right? So we have to also think beyond the emotion, because what he's thinking there is emotionally and not strategically, in the sense that, okay, well, I don't really need it. So the day you need it is when you're going to magically raise your prices because, hey, I'm getting married. I have new responsibilities. I have a baby. I need to buy a house. Or something tragic happens in your life where you just spur into raising your prices. And then that also that comes from a place of, in a sense, like lack of integrity, because why is it now that you need to raise your prices just to fulfill a specific need?
And then what happens then is, because life has hit you with this emergency, you have to jack up your prices by like 200%. And
when you could have been in
people's mouth, you could have been gradually increasing your price the whole time.
And this having a proper savings plan. And
that's right.
Now it's no longer about need. And then that's also another mindset shift we need to have as entrepreneurs, because we always go in, why do we feel we have to need? Why can't we just be abundant and enjoy?
Yeah, just be blessed. You just be blessed and prosperous? That okay? You know?
Yeah. Let's normalize wanting to just live full, abundant lives and be prosperous, because then that's also a selfish thought. Because, well, I don't need, okay, well, then the excess you could give to charity. Who needs it? Anything. That's just an example.
Children living right in his neighborhood, he could have you know, they don't have laptops for school with online school. Bro, you could have made literally your world a better place by investing in your business, right?
Exactly.
And that's this internal boundary again, as you say, mindset. Me, the person, yes, I may be my brand, but what I want and need, it's different from what my business needs.
You're right.
So yes, we bring ourselves to our business, but you are still a person that's separate from the brand.
Of course,
and
yeah.
We have to have this healthy separation so that we can see things clearly. And the world needs businesses. I would dare say, Cassie or Ivan, that the world needs tattoo artists because art makes life feel lighter. And mm-hmm. we need some lightness in life because the world is very heavy.
Yes, I think the world needs especially lately. Artists.
Yeah, the world needs people like him. So the world needs your business and you have been denying the world your gift.
And here's another lesson from that experience, right? That what you did came from a need to serve and to help. And oh, let me just, like, yeah. Who told Neola to pick up herself and tell this man and give
Nobody
him templates, right?
Yeah.
And this is what we do, like, let me help you. And then
literally went like that.
and then the help isn't received, and then we are upset and we're torn and we're like, but I did all of this. And you would think, like, what you offered has value, it had value, mm-hmm. and they don't want to take it because they're not yet at that place mentally. And when they are, I have had to learn the hard way. People have to come to that on their own, and that they also it. Have to pay for it, because when people pay for things, they value it more.
That's true,
right?
Yeah.
And what I learned from you is either two things, right? They have to earn it through some action, or they earn it through payment. And unless people earn something, whether it's through payment or actions or whatever the case may be, they don't value it. So we need to just stop giving things away with no earning. Because then what happens?
Exactly.
People don't act on it.
Yeah. And why would they when we don't value it ourselves?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So I think that was a whole heaping lot of tea. So I'm going to take a sip. And I actually forgot to ask you, like, what do you have in your cup today for tea time?
I mixed 2 white sugar cubes, warm oat milk, and Nescafe Gold. And it's the most divine thing. It is so good.
That sounds so delightful.
Well, kitchen smelled like heaven when I was making it.
So what I'm having is some coffee from around 10 a.m. that I've been sipping on. And I'm finishing that up. And then right before our call, I decided to mix some orange pineapple juice with Malibu. Because I was like, what the heck? It's Friday.
It's Friday. We entered. I love it.
Yeah. So that's what you've been seeing me like sipping on simultaneously.
The next time we do a podcast, I'm going to have wine in one glass and my tea in the other. Because we can do both. We're those types of women.
It's true.
Yeah.
We can do both. I love that. So another thing as creatives we struggle with is the, again, stemming from the need to be liked, is we present some work and the client doesn't like it. And we feel crushed because this is part of us. We created this, we made this, and we present it to you. And it's like, I don't think people really understand that it's a part of us. So when you say no, it's like we feel... It really does affect our mental health. Like we have
like
to
a rejection.
Yeah. And we have to learn how to detach from us, the individual, and the work that we created. So what would be your tips for creatives who struggle to detach from the work? You know.
So one, change your mindset. I love being rejected. I think it's the best thing ever. I do. Because it says so much, okay? It says that you're not my ideal client. It says that we'd probably have such a hard time working together and our time is just so valuable. It says that maybe our tastes are so different, we're going to continue butting heads into the creative process. It's probably going to be like pulling teeth to get paid. And if you can spare me the courtesy of having, you know, my time to do something more worthy by rejecting me up front, I think that's actually a favor. And I think that's excellent for my business. That's why I say I love rejection, because I much rather have a red light at the beginning of my drive than you string me along with a yellow light for 2 months. And then you tell me when I'm fully invested. Yeah, you know, I don't really like this. So I think when I create something and I present it to someone and it's not for them, I love when they reject it right out, because it means now I have the privilege of offering it to someone who can work with it. Because my products are that valuable. Well, my product is a service. And yours would be your expertise and your design and all of the things that you do. And they're so valuable that I want to offer them to the person who understands the vision. So please reject me as soon as you can, if that's the road that we have to go down. And we have to separate again. This is not a personal rejection.
Right.
You just don't like the service. It's not for you. Not everybody likes a tall, dry cappuccino. Some people want a flat white, and that's awesome.
Right.
I can't give you a flat white. I don't know how to make it. Tell me from the start so I can offer the cappuccino lover what I have. You know, right. So we have to change our mindset around this rejection. Rejection is a good thing. It's healthy and it's a wonderful thing. It saves you time, energy, and money.
Wow. It's true. It's really just something we kind of have to do. I guess, you know, for listeners, I guess they might be wondering, but how? Do you have like any coping mechanisms to help them?
I think we have to find that fulfillment elsewhere. It's wonderful when we can marry our passion to our career, but right. We get boxed in by thinking, you know, I could only create for money or for my career. But that's not true. We could create in many ways. You can cook a beautiful meal. You can do a sketch. You can learn to play guitar. You can just walk outside somewhere and appreciate the green grass and the beautiful trees. I know it sounds trite, but it actually works, because it fills you up with that sense of purpose and joy. That's what we need. We need that joy and that fulfillment that just comes from being alive and appreciating all these wonderful things. If you're only looking to your job for that sense of purpose and fulfillment, you will always be wanting.
True.
So find a way to get that good thing. I call it the good thing, the good vibe.
Right.
Elsewhere. Where else can you serve? Where else can you serve? We don't have to monetize everything. Right. You can contribute to a charity. Maybe for you, it's laughing with your children. And be so filled up that a business rejection doesn't empty your cup. Mm-hmm. And that's a very personal walk and a very personal decision. So let me ask you, Cassia, you know, what makes your heart sing? What fills you up and lights your fire outside of your job?
That's a very good question. Because for me, am I what?
Are you stalling?
No, I'm not stalling. It's something that I had to like journal on coming down to the end of last year, because I had to ask myself, who am I outside of Cassia the brand? You know, because personal branding, it's so easy to get lost in, because it's a personal brand that, okay, this is me, the business is me. But I had to also separate, okay, I have Cassia the personal business brand, and then there's Cassia the person. So what I really had to sit with that. So that's why I said it's a very good question, and it has allowed me to start to separate you know,
yeah.
And I realized that that's where like a lot of my issues came from in terms of like business friendships and stuff like that, because it's like, okay, where's the life outside of business? Because I really do love what I do. I enjoy it. It just really brings me so much joy. It's, I guess, my safe space in some way.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's why for me it's so important, mental health as it relates to entrepreneurship, because when it isn't going so well for many different reasons, especially online space, there could be so many triggers and you have to learn how to manage it. So I just started creating things for the sake of just creating, because for me, I used to just create because I liked it and it was part of some big strategy. And it's like, but I'm not enjoying this if it's anymore when it's part of some strategy. So
right.
I've recently found TikTok.
Yes.
I create TikTok videos there, and I purposely don't come share them on Instagram too much anymore. Mm-hmm. Like this previous 2 weeks, I have started like this daily vlog that I just wanted to stay consistent with, just for the sake of having some sort of daily release where I create, simply have nothing to do with trying to grow my influence and my followers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just don't want none of that attached to it. I just want to make, and if people like it and they enjoy it, then that's a bonus and that makes me happy, because it still makes you happy when people appreciate what you make. So when those days happen, I appreciate it and I detach again to like not get caught up in like, oh, this video didn't like perform. So I would have to say for me right now, it's just creating videos on TikTok. It's like a nice pastime to just tell a story through video.
Yeah, we need to disconnect and really do things away from your job just to restore, you know?
Yeah.
And then as when you work for yourself, the switch is always on, but we have to switch off.
Yes, that took a lot of practice as well. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of months, I found myself I'm never switching off. And so then when you learn to switch off, then now I have to learn to switch back on.
Right.
You
so
know?
If I had to say that as a boundary, I'd say I work really hard in my business and I deserve downtime. I deserve white space. I deserve being able to sit and do nothing, because sitting and do nothing isn't nothing. It's actually a lot. It's restorative. It's healing. It gives my brain a chance to regroup, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes you just have to also just create, because that's what keeps you sharp. That's how you are able to bring creative problem solving, because it's not just about creating like designs or videos or content, you know. It's just creative problem solving on a whole, because if you're constantly creating for the purpose of work, how do you fill your cup back up and stretch your skills and develop your creativity? Because then you're going to find yourself in a creative rut when you're constantly just creating for a client or creating for the business content, etc. So I find like I have complete freedom to just make when I'm doing something, for example, TikTok. So yeah, I think that's my answer.
I love it. It could be anything on TikTok. That's another thing that gives me life. I am not on it, but my friends send me the videos and it's usually hysterical.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you a couple questions that someone sent. I posted some questions. Well, not questions. I told on Instagram, hey, leave some questions. So I got a few. So one of the questions are, how do I know if I am a workaholic? And I think before you answer, I think that's very much in line with another question someone asked. So I'm going to merge the two.
Okay.
Right. So they asked, how do I know if I'm a workaholic? And also the other person asked, is there a thermometer or red light to measure your mental health? So essentially people are trying to figure out when do I know something's wrong? Because
right.
When you're physically unwell, you know, you're cut, there's a bruise, there's blood, your foot is broken, you know it's broken. There's physical signs. What are these signs as it relates to mental health?
So I think in terms of mental health, prevention is better than curing.
Right.
So certainly when it's time for a cure and an intervention, this looks different for each person. So there'll be different impacts on your functioning. Are you able to easily do the things that normally you have to do in a day? Or do you find yourself struggling? Are there changes in your eating, sleeping patterns? Do you find joy in the things that you normally find joy in? Have your friends and family been complaining consistently? We don't see you. I would suggest, you know, doing all those restorative things before we get unwell. But some of the markers, so when your mental health is suffering, this looks different for every person. So use the benchmark of when does it feel normal for you to get up and do all the things that you have to do in a day. And if you find that there's any difficulty or there's anything impacting on your ability to function as you normally would, that's absolutely a red flag. So disturbances in like your eating and sleeping, not finding pleasure, joy in the activities that you normally would. Friends and family and significant people in your life have been complaining, we don't see you, we don't get to spend time with you. When you're with us, you're never paying attention. If when you're doing non-work related activities, your mind is always in work. If you make every major decision in life based on how much work I'll be able to get done or what I will leave undone for work, that's a huge red flag. If your sleep is disrupted by thoughts of work, I think if you're dreaming work every night as well, there are some issues that really need to be addressed. If you spend the majority of your mental life thinking about work, that's a really pretty good sign, a pretty sure sign that you're a workaholic. So those are red flags for workaholic and for when you need interventions for mental health. But I want us to think also about mental health in terms of taking vitamins. So we take vitamins for everything, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Why are you taking the vitamins? You're not sick. There's nothing wrong with you. But you want to build up your immune system so that when the stress of life hits, you're so much better equipped to handle it. And we have to take mental health vitamins as well. So there are pillars to mental health, okay? The first thing, and in fact, the greatest predictor of a long, happy life is having strong, loving connections with people that you're close to. So just it might sound cliche, but love is actually the key. A diet that's not too high in sugar and oil, moving the body a little bit for 20 minutes each day. It could be anything. It could be a stretch. It's not work. It's not related to work. It's anything that you move the body for in a non-work environment. Rest, diet, and sleep. And just staying active, keeping the brain active, reading something, trying a crossword puzzle. A simple thing like trying a different route to go to the grocery every now and then gives a little spark. And those are the pillars of mental health that sound very simple, but that we actually ignore most of the time. The human body, the immune system, your health, it thrives and is reinforced by community. Right. We are biologically wired for community. So isolations and lockdowns have had a worldwide terribly adverse effect on people's mental health.
So as it relates now to the workaholic aspect, some people might think they're fine, and I'm glad you touched on that point, because again, due to TikTok, I've learned that if you're trying to be overproductive, that's a form of trauma coping.
Well, it's one form of trauma coping, and I'm hesitant to agree with it simply because trauma is also having a moment in social media. And we're using trauma now for anything related to distress and discomfort when they're actually quite different constructs. So I'm finding that we're basically saying everyone has trauma and everything maladaptive you do is a trauma response.
Well, that is true. that is going around.
Yeah, it's having a moment. And I mean, I guess it speaks to the enduring popularity of psychology. Mm-hmm. But as a therapist, I'm seeing the harm because we're removing how serious trauma is for persons who actually survive trauma.
Right.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, it's not right to use the word very like interchangeably then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that perspective. I really appreciate it. I will just tell you quickly what the questions others were, but I think you touched on them. So it's like, how can I protect my mental health? How do I recognize that I have an issue with mental health and work towards rectifying it? Which I think you answered that. And well, mental health indicators. So I think generally speaking, people wanted to know, how do I know I have a problem and how do I manage it? So I hope your answers help people identify how to know when to check in with themselves. And I want to say it's just also about mental wellness. Maybe that should be the word, mental wellness, because everybody has mental health to check in on, you know, because I don't want it to be dismissed. Oh, okay, well, I'm fine. I don't have a problem. I don't have mental health issues. And then they go about and they dismiss everything. No, it's just something to just be aware of as well and check in. And I feel like, would you say boundaries is an important aspect of mental health?
Because poor boundaries or too porous or too rigid boundaries are often at the root of so many. It's at the root of, you know, codependency, overworking, being a workaholic, imposter syndrome, low self-esteem, poor relationship patterns. You know, maybe it's because I'm a boundaries expert, I can trace it back always to poor boundaries.
Yeah.
But even before I had an awareness of boundaries, I would see it coming up in therapy all the time. This person is not assertive. This person doesn't take care of themselves. This person is so resentful. But they've never said, you know, honey, I don't like this thing at all.
And I'm finding that it so much of this is really tied back to boundaries, especially internal ones.
It's always coming back to boundaries. And I'm there on Instagram. It's Neola_Zama_. I am offering two boundaries classes. Each class is 2 days. And I have one spot left for the second rotation. And it's open to men and women. So yay for that. And I do therapy for women, but I consult usually with men and guide them to a therapist that I think suits their issues. Or a lot of times men reach out for support for the women in their lives that they love. And I'm very open and welcome to that. Before we go, I just want to say, let's normalize going to therapy as we would normalize going to the doctor for a checkup.
Yes, that's a very, very good point. Okay.
I have a therapist there. I'm not sitting on the mountain doling out, you know, sage, whatever. I deserve good therapy because my mental health is so important to me. And the better I am, the better my business is anyway. Mm-hmm. So I have a good therapist and I'm one as well.
Okay. Good. All right. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode. And guys, don't be surprised if she's back again. I definitely see how we can segue into many different specific topics. But I hope this was really valuable to you all today.
Thanks for having me, Cassio.
Hey, if you made it this far, that means you enjoyed this episode. This was a part two series. So I would really appreciate if you could leave a review. Now, I know many of you just listen on the web app using Anchor and you don't really listen on a podcasting app. So there are two ways you can leave a review. One, you can screenshot this episode and share to Instagram stories so that I can reshare and shout you out. And I like to know who's listening. And if you have a podcasting app, you can just go on over, rate the show 4 or 5 stars and leave your thoughts And that's it.